Good morning. Would you take a moment, please, to turn off your electronic devices so we can prepare ourselves for worship and listen to the prelude that Lonnie has prepared for us. Thank you, Lonnie. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We have a few announcements. If you would take your the attendance slips that are on the inside aisle and fill them out and pass them down, and then in a little while, you'll be able to greet your neighbor and call them by name. Many of you know Pastor Mark Pumphrey from, he used to be the minister at South Broadway Christian Church. And he put a little thing on Facebook yesterday, and it showed a marquee of a church, marquee that normally says what the sermon is and so forth. And on this one it said, God really doesn't pay attention to football, but the sign guy does. Go Broncos. So, with that in mind, we will move on. The church directory is being updated, so if you haven't checked your information out in the foyer, please do so and make sure it's updated. There will be a diaconate meeting today after worship in the fellowship hall. All diaconate are encouraged to attend. The mission commission will be making fleece blankets next Saturday, January 30th, from 10 to 2, and you're welcome to come down and help. Bring a sack lunch, and there will be plenty of blankets to be finished. Lenten services will start this with Ash Wednesday services on February 10th. There will be a soup supper at 6 p.m. furnished by the elders, and services will take place at 6:30. Please put it on your calendar to attend. Now, we know in the past this congregation has helped out the Boy Scout troop when they put things on and did things at the pizza ranch. Well, tomorrow night, the Boy Scouts aren't going to be doing it, but the preschool is going to be doing it out there. And so I would hope that you would give the preschool as much help as you have given the Boy Scouts. So please come out to the Pizza Ranch and help the preschool by purchasing pizza, or they have some of the best chicken in town. So come out. You can also do it by delivery or pickup or however. You just have to mention that you're there because of the First Christian Church preschool. There's a new Bible study every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Jack Waltz will lead the discussion on the history of the Bible. A new adult class is starting in February. Nicholas Grooms and Pastor Cynthia will lead the class, and it will be in the boardroom. And the one other item is that the business manager position will be opening up. Our current business manager, Lois Cook, is setting to retire. And so if you know of someone, or if you are interested in that position, please contact Reverend McBride. On another sport note, Tom May explained to me that he was bowling, and the other day he bowled an 835 series. And the first game was a 256. The second game was a 279, and the third game was a perfect 300. So that's pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, 15 years apart.
Well, some things get better with age. So I would also like to take a moment and call on Catherine. She has a special announcement.
All right, so the youth are hosting a chili cook-off and bingo night on February 21st from 3 to 5. It is going to be a fundraiser for the youth that are going to be participating and going to the National Youth Event in Orlando this July. So if you decide to be in the cook-off, please go sign up on the sheet by the church office. Come join us on February 21st from 3 to 5 for fun and good chili. And the entry fee for bingo would be $5 per person.
Is there any other announcements? If not, would you please stand and greet your neighbors, and then we will sing our opening hymn, which is number 2. Join me in the call to worship. Joy is ours, for we have the word of the Lord.
Joy is ours to share God's holy word.
Come, Divine One, and dwell within us this day.
May your spirit make our hearts overflow.
Holy One, we each come before you today from a different place, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. And each of us needs to hear from you in a different way. Yet, we have come together in one congregation, united in Jesus Christ, each seeking to follow him in our own unique lives. Remind us of our unity, and help us to keep our diversity in perspective. In view of Jesus Christ and his cross, we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. A little bit of instruction today. If everyone would take out the purple songbook, we are going to collectively mark a hymn or a praise song. So if you happen to be sitting near an extra purple songbook where nobody else is around, you can do double duty. Pick up two songbooks and a pencil. In your pew rack, there are some pencils. We're going to have a little music class this morning. Turn to page 78. Oftentimes with praise songs, much like Gregorian chants that preceded them, a phrase is repeated over and over again. If you're in a congregation that has a praise band, the leader of the praise band will just kind of make motions that we're going to sing again, and you just keep going, and you kind of let the spirit go. That's not our setting here. We are hymn-singing people who every once in a while try to sing a praise song. So the Purple Chalice Praise Book has some songs in it with lots of endings and repeats that we don't always take. So on number 78, I'm going to give you permission to actually write in the book with a pencil from the pew in front of you. On the second page, the top line says, "When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm dry, you fill my cup. You're my all in all." And then you notice after that, the next line says "all," and it says "all" again. Cross out that line. Those are alternate endings that we're not going to keep singing over and over and over again. So we're going to skip those repeats. So put a little X just to remind yourself and whoever sings with this book after you that we're just going to skip that. You keep going down on that page. It says, "Jesus, Lamb of God." At this point, we've had a key change. We're singing a little bit higher. We're kind of ramped up with joy. Again, if we had a praise band, they would probably keep going and we'd sing that over and over and over, but we're not going to. So the next to the last line on that page, "Worthy is your name," you're going to put an X through that as well. Just real light with pencil. So basically, we're going to sing this song kind of straight through from the beginning to the end and not worry about all the repeats. And those X's are just a little reminder. At the very beginning, at page 78 at the top, you'll notice it's almost like there's two verses. "You're my strength when I am weak," and then "Seeking you as a precious jewel." We're going to sing those one right after the other, and then just keep going to the end. So Lonnie is going to play it the way we're going to sing it, and we'll follow her, and it'll be fine. So don't worry if you don't know how to read music. Just follow along with Lonnie and the choir. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lonnie, for that gift of music. Our children are going to head out to worship and wonder today. Their leader is Erica Stupak. So Erica and our kids are going to head downstairs for a special time of worship. While they are leaving the sanctuary, I encourage you to look at the back of your bulletin at our list of prayer concerns. In the pew rack in front of you, you will find a prayer card. This morning, our card shower is for Karen Huckfelt. Oftentimes, our card shower is for someone who is in poor health. Karen's doing great. She's a young woman, a child of our congregation, who's grown now and off on her own. She's living in Portland, Oregon. Last Sunday, Cindy, her mom, shared with us that Karen was alone for the first time at Christmas, and one of her friends gave her a wonderful gift, a jar full of notes from friends and church members that just said, Karen, we think you're awesome. We're really glad you live in Portland. We're glad you're in our lives. It's time for a refill for that jar. So her church family is invited to just write a note to Karen, encouraging her in life in Portland, telling her that we still love her. Even if you don't know Karen real well, you can just tell her we're praying for her today. Her birthday is coming up. You might just write happy birthday on that card, and we will send them to her. Today, we offer prayers of sympathy to the family of Marilyn Wirth, who passed away last Monday. Marilyn was a longtime member of our congregation. She attended here as a child, as a young girl. She took organ lessons with Bobby Lospeech, who used to play for the church here. And Marilyn ended up being a wonderful pianist and organist. She played for us and for other churches in the community for special services. Marilyn has struggled mightily with health for the past several years. She has really not gotten out very much in our community. We've missed seeing her here in worship. We rejoice with her family that Marilyn is no longer suffering in any way, and she is with her Lord and Savior. The service tomorrow will be at 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. We are providing a reception with coffee and cookies. If anyone wants to help with that, please let Virginia Yon know. There'll also be a funeral here on Tuesday at 1 o'clock for Joe Johnson. No connection with our congregation, but prayers of sympathy for that family as well. And Virginia is again coordinating a reception, so you might volunteer with her. A long list of folks who are in treatment for cancer, we continue to pray for all of them. Laura Chipperfield is going through chemo. She is doing fairly well. She continues to be present on Wednesday nights to help with our youth group. Prayers for Laura, for Lindy, and for others living with cancer. We have a long list of senior members of our congregation. Some of them have moved out of state. Some live here in town and aren't able to be in worship with us. Some have returned to our midst. We're glad to see Jackie back after hip surgery. It's great to have her and Jerry here today. Prayers of healing for her. At the back of the sanctuary, you'll find a prayer sheet. You're encouraged to sign your name and send greetings to the members of South Broadway Christian Church in Denver. Their new pastor, Lori Lewis, begins service today. It's her first Sunday in the pulpit with them. We are sending greetings to them. Are there other joys this morning that we want to share or prayer concerns anyone wants to lift up today? Raylan has been approved to be on the kidney transplant list, and that is very good news for him. So prayers for Raylan and Tammy while they're waiting for the donation of a kidney that will be a good match. Susie. Prayers for Clara as she heads to the doctor for her heart condition. Tom.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I won a spot in the USA, USA
National Bowling Association in Las Vegas, August 2nd. Five of us won, the four of us going, I was one of the highest honors in going there. It was a big deal. Amazing field trip.
We are so happy for Tom. He'll be headed to Vegas in August with the NBA for bowling. What a great honor for you.
My family made it home safely about 10 last night through the Tennessee ice storm. And we were all very anxious about them all day, but they are home safe. They sent me a picture of the ice storm off their deck with the frozen trees. It is a beautiful night.
Thank you for those greetings. We continue to pray for Doug Goodwin and Gene Rolfe Sema in Sheridan. We're thankful that family made it home safely in Tennessee, and we're praying for so many affected by ice and snowstorms in the east and blizzards. Catherine.
There's a kid on the school that has cancer, so she's praying.
Prayers for a classmate with cancer.
Back here.
Michelle.
My sister's flying in on Wednesday from London.
Yay!
And she'll only be here until Friday.
Yay!
But then she's going to Florida to hang with my mom.
Prayers for Michelle's sister as she flies here from London and then goes on to Florida to be with family. Prayers for safe travel. Greg.
Yeah. I just want to thank Tom. He's been a friend. And, this pro bowling career, anybody that can bowl a 300 and that you even know someone that does that is amazing. But also the time that he dedicated as coach and just the trips he's had to make and the dedication of being involved as a coach and then to continue. Those are bragging rights, so I thank the Lord for bragging rights.
Amen. There was another hand. Debbie. What an important time of year to be mindful of those in our community who are homeless and to reach out to people who feel that there's shame or a stigma attached. And oftentimes it's beyond a person's own responsibility. A job may disappear. There may be health concerns. There are many, many different reasons why people are homeless. And so our congregation continues to reach out to them. And Debbie, we're so thankful for your leadership of the Sandwich Ministry. We were glad that ministry was featured on the news last night. And we will be praying for the homeless on the 27th during the homeless count. As Debbie said, if you know anyone who is homeless, please encourage them to participate. It affects the amount of funding available for programs. And so it's really very important for us to have as accurate a count as possible of the homeless in Natrona County. There is a hot meal being offered at the senior center for anyone who participates in the homeless count. Tom.
Yeah, I've got to bring that up. The one guy came up to me in Texas. They went off the first ship, 8,000 people for an oil field. Halliburton is next on the list. There'll be a lot of people out of jobs here.
We pray for those who are already unemployed, for those who face the fear of perhaps losing work. Joshua.
So my oldest son, Evan, graduated from there this week. And something that kind of struck me during the ceremony was I looked at all the kids and just kind of thought, I hope all these kids can take the message that they've learned and apply it over the years. I just think about people that I've known over the years that have been involved in those programs and you end up seeing where they get to later and how they can
Amen. We pray not just for Evan, but for all the young people who do live in a time of great peer pressure, that they would be able to stand up against negative influences in their lives. Let us bring all of these concerns to the Lord, as well as the prayers that we hold in our hearts as we share together a time of silence. Holy and gracious God, you are the giver of life. By your hand, the tide comes in and goes out. By the breath of your spirit, pine trees on mountaintops sway with the wind. By your generous gift of life, each of us are graced with bodies that breathe in and breathe out life-giving air. Holy One, in all the seasons of life, in the highs and the lows, in the swaying of daily living, being moved at times to and fro, your Spirit is constant and present with us. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we drift away from you. Call us back. Forgive our sins. Help us to live centered in you, O Christ. Loving and gracious God, we pray for all those that we have named today, for individuals and circumstances that we lift before you. We pray for safe travel, asking you to watch over Michelle's sister and giving thanks that Darlene's family has returned home to Tennessee safely. We pray for neighbors on the other side of the country, for brothers and sisters in Christ, for friends, and for people we do not even know who are affected by ice storms, by the snowfall of blizzards, by winter storms. We pray for communities where there is damage from severe weather. We ask that people might reach out and help one another. In our own community, God, we are humbled by the need for neighbor to help neighbor. We thank you for the ongoing work of the Sandwich Ministry, and we pray for all of the homeless on our city streets. We pray for the nearly 400 students enrolled in Natrona County schools who do not have a place to call home. We pray for homeless adults who long to work, who seek shelter, who sleep hungry and cold. We pray especially, O God, for the man who perished this week in the cold, sleeping outside. As a community, we stand in part bearing the guilt of his death. Give us the courage not to turn a blind eye to the homeless, but to reach out and help as we are able. We pray, O God, for young people who face pressure to do drugs, to make bad life choices. We pray that they would stand strong and know that there are better ways to live, healthy ways to live. Thank you for Evan's participation in the DARE program. We pray for all of his classmates who went through this coursework. We pray that it will plant a foundation of wise choices in the future. Lord, we pray as well for adults who struggle with addiction, for those who are in recovery, for those who need your help, even to acknowledge that they have a problem. God, we pray for the courage for people in need to reach out and seek help. We pray for those who live with mental illness, who struggle with depression, with bipolar, with all kinds of situations and circumstances in life that many of us cannot even fathom. We pray, O Lord, for families of those who struggle with mental illness, that they would find the courage to continue helping even when it is hard. Lord, we pray for healing for so many. We thank you for Jackie and pray for her ongoing recovery. We ask you to watch over Raylan as he's on the kidney transplant list, that there might be an opportunity in your time for him to receive a kidney and be made well. Lord, be with little Clara as she travels to Denver to meet with doctors. Help them to have the wisdom to know what treatment her heart needs. We pray for healing for Doug Goodwin and Jean Rolf Sima in Sheridan and others that we know near and far. We join with Catherine in praying for a classmate who's been diagnosed with cancer. We pray for Lindy and Laura and others as they go through cancer treatments. Oh God, our list at times is long. There are so many in our world who need your healing, your strength, your presence. And we ourselves are on that list. For God, truly, we could not make it through a single day without you, without the life-giving breath you plant within us. We thank you for joys that are shared today, for Tom and the adventure of his bowling, for lessons learned, for love shared. We pray your blessing on Karen and her family as they live miles apart. Oh God, there are many other concerns in our hearts that we struggle to put into words. So we ask you to look within our lives and know our prayers before we even speak them. Bless your church, Universal. Be with South Broadway this day as they begin a new ministry with Lori Lewis. Bless this congregation, First Christian in Casper, that we might continue to reach out to help the homeless and the hungry, to proclaim your gospel, to share the word of your good news with all, by what we say, by what we do, by who we are. Make us worthy, O Christ, to bear the name Christian. For it is in your precious name that we pray and live. Amen.
Earlier this week, I got a text from my oldest daughter that lives in California, and she asked me a question of, when I was growing up as a boy, what was my favorite dessert? I thought that was an interesting question, but what they were doing is my grandson's go to a private Lutheran school, and they were having a 50s night. And she was trying to make it as authentic as she could. So it made me think, gee, what was my favorite dessert when I was a boy growing up? First thing that popped into my head was blueberry pie. My mother made an awesome blueberry pie. But as I sat there thinking about it, She also made an awesome cherry pie. And then I got to thinking about Thanksgiving, and she always made a date pudding. Now, I don't like dates, but I sure like that date pudding for some reason. And then I wandered some more, and I thought about Christmas time when we would spend it with my grandmother, and she always made suet pudding with white hard sauce. The pudding wasn't that hot, but the white hard sauce was all right. And then we thought about oatmeal cookies and shortbread cookies and things like that. And it was sort of fun to reminisce and think about going back a long ways. What we're doing here today, and we do every week, we go back to the Lord's table. And we think about when Christ met with his disciples in that upper room. Nowhere is our unity more evident than at this table. Here, every person is made welcome, not by our own ability, but by the grace of God made manifest in his Son, Jesus Christ. Here we become one body, united in Christ, as the things that would divide us fall away. Let us come to this table in thankfulness that we may have been brought together in the love of Jesus Christ. We will sing our communion hymn and remember that we're all welcome at God's table.
As we come here to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met in the upper room with his friends. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
You created everything, God, for the glory of your name. You gave food and drink to men for their enjoyment.
And to us you give spiritual food and drink with the promise of eternal life. Above all, we thank you for the power of your love. Bless this cup and bread as we share it in remembrance of you. Amen.
in Christ's body, the church, the things that make each of us unique are joined together. And the whole body working together is more powerful than any one of its members by him or herself. In the same way, when followers of Jesus bring their financial resources together and dedicate them to his service, the whole of the offering is more powerful than any of our dollars by itself. Let us come together now and bring our gifts to be dedicated to Jesus. The diaconate will now wait upon us. We have gathered our offerings together, and now we prepare them to give to you. Bless and multiply them, and use them for the sake of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
And the people of God said, Amen. Choir, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Our first scripture reading that Pam Rouse will lead us in is found in the back of your hymnal. We are reading responsively Psalm 19. It is in the Psalter section of the Chalice Hymnal on page 731. Pam will read for us the normal type. We will respond by reading the bold print. And you notice that there is a bold letter R. That stands for the refrain or the sung response. That's found at the top of the page. So every time in between each stanza, there's that bold letter R. We'll sing together that refrain. We'll let Lonnie be ready to accompany us with this. So we'll have Lonnie play that response once, and we'll sing together, The Law of God is Just, Reviving All Your Soul. And then Pam will lead us in Psalm 19.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and it runs its course with joy and strength.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens,
and its crooked to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the soul.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandments of the Lord is clear,
enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous.
More to be desired are then than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
The law of God is just, reviving all your soul.
Thank you, Pam. Our second reading of scripture today comes from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah in the 8th chapter. In your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 436, Nehemiah chapter 8. When the 7th month came, the people of Israel being settled in their towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the 7th month. He read it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Padiah, Mishael, Melchijah, Hashum, Hashbatnah, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Joshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiam, Messiah, Hittatah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the meaning. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning we've heard together much of Psalm 19. The last verse of Psalm 19 is probably familiar to you if you've been in worship here. It says, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's the source of the prayer that I offer every Sunday, praying that God will bless the words that I say and the words that you hear and ponder in your hearts. Let us pray together. Holy God, we do indeed give thanks for your word. We pray that we might be blessed with understanding. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 19 sings praise to God for the gift of God's word. It is a fitting companion to the text we have heard from Nehemiah. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah, as they show up in our Bible, are listed as two separate texts, but chances are originally they were part of one work. In fact, today, if you have a friend who is Jewish and you sit down with them and you look at a Hebrew Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah is one book in a Hebrew Bible in the Tanakh, rather than being listed as two books in our Protestant Bible. Ezra was a priest who served the Israelites. He was a contemporary of Nehemiah, who was assigned as a governor in Jerusalem, assigned by Artaxerxes, the Persian king. The story that we're hearing today from Nehemiah takes place after the exile had ended. The Israelites, God's people, had been hauled away into captivity in Babylon. For multiple decades, they lived far from home. Then finally, they were freed and allowed to return to Jerusalem. When they got home, the place was a mess. The temple had been destroyed. It was a pile of rubble. The wall around the city had been torn down. It was easy for rival tribes to come and invade Jerusalem. So the work started to rebuild the temple, to reclaim the holy city for God, to rebuild the walls. It was during this period when Nehemiah was assigned as governor. My guess is he had a gift for building projects. He was the kind of guy we'd love to have chair our property commission, or maybe head up a stewardship drive. He had a knack for fundraising. In fact, because of Nehemiah, the Persian king helped pay the Israelites to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. At the time of the story we read in Nehemiah 8, the walls are about half finished. They're raised up high enough that no longer are neighbors marauding the city. The people feel safe. So on a given day, Ezra the priest gathers the people together. It happens that it was the first day of the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. In fact, it was the first day of the seventh month of the seventh year. It was a significant time. It was an occasion when the word of the Lord was prescribed to be read aloud to the people. The challenge was that had not happened for a long time. Probably for about 70 years, when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, this special event of reading God's word didn't happen. For us, access to God's word is pretty simple. Here in our church building, there's a Bible in every pew. In most of our homes, there's a Bible, or perhaps more than one. If you've got a Bible at your house, would you raise your hand? If you've got more than one, keep your hand up. If you've got one that's really big and fancy, raise your hand. If you've got one that has little teeny tiny print that is hard to read, yeah, I've got some of those too. I used to have a New Testament and Psalms that was about the size of a checkbook. I loved it when I was in seminary. I could tuck it in my purse. I had it with me any place I went. Recently, I came across it. I hadn't seen it for many years. I opened it up and wondered how on earth I ever read the thing. That was pre-bifocal days. Now I've got a Bible on my phone. I can scroll and open the app and read several different translations of Scripture. If I'm bored and standing in line someplace, I can look up the week's text and be out in public reading my phone. And everybody around me thinks, oh, she's playing a game or checking a text. And there I am studying God's word. We take it for granted how easy it is to read the word of the Lord. Try to imagine, if you can, how it would feel to not have seen a Bible for 70 years. Try to imagine you had heard from mom and dad or grandma and grandpa that there was such a thing as God's own word given for people, but you had never seen it. You had never actually heard Scripture read. Such was it for the people gathered with Nehemiah in front of the water gate. Rather than go inside the temple while it was being rebuilt, the people gathered in a public square. Scholars and archaeologists aren't 100% certain where the water gate was located. Don't get it confused with Watergate Hotel in American history. This was a long time before that. The city of Jerusalem had huge stone walls. They're still there today around the old part of Jerusalem. And in those stone walls, there were massive gates that could be closed if the city was under attack and then opened. The water gate would be opened when it was time for water to be carried into the city from the well at Siloam on the east side of Jerusalem. There was a public square there in front of that gate. A rough wooden platform had been built so that Nehemiah and Ezra and all the priests whose names we heard could stand in front of the people and be seen. It is telling that the detail is shared not once but twice. that the people who gathered to hear the law read were both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. The tradition at the time at synagogues and at the temple was that the men would gather to study the law. The women and the kids, they went off someplace else, but it was the men who heard God's word. On this day, the entire community is invited. Men and women and all who could hear and understand, in other words, even the young who might not be old enough to go to temple and actually officially study with a rabbi, they too got to hear God's word. Can you imagine the eagerness and the excitement? You have heard for 70 years in your family the legend that something known as the Bible exists, but you've never seen one. You have heard stories handed down by the generation that before your clan was hauled away into captivity, God's word was read. Today, for the first time, you will hear it. That same excitement happens today in places in our world where Christians are persecuted. There are a few countries on our globe where it's actually illegal for people to own a Bible. If you're a Christian and you're caught owning a Bible, you can be arrested or even put to death. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a community where people smuggle Bibles in so you can hear God's word? And now, suddenly, you're there with Nehemiah in a public square where it is safe. You're protected behind the new walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt, and you can hear God's word. No longer are you captive, threatened with death or imprisonment. You can hear the word of the Lord. What an amazing treasure that was for the people gathered there. So Ezra, the priest, the scribe, begins reading from the scroll, the law, the Torah. Among the texts he must have read were the stories that we find in the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, the story of creation, of God making the world. Perhaps he read the story of the Tower of Babylon, the story of Noah and the ark and the rainbow and the covenant, the story of Jacob, the story of 12 sons, one of them named Joseph, the story of the Israelites held captive in Egypt and then set free, led across the Red Sea, the story of 40 years of wilderness wandering. Suddenly, 70 years doesn't seem impossible, and it has passed so quickly. The Babylonian captivity is over, and the people can hear again the word of the Lord. Not only does Ezra stand and read God's word for hours, but the priests, the Levites, are there with him to take turns reading when Ezra's voice gets too tired, and to take turns helping to interpret God's word, helping the people to understand what it means, helping them to see that those stories that happened so long ago are their story, helping us to see that those stories that happened so long ago are our story. The Bible, God's gift to us, still speaks to us through the ages, the truth of the love of the Lord. We perhaps do take it for granted and don't even realize what a sacred gift it is that the God of all creation would speak to us through words on a page. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. I wonder, were the people weeping for joy because they heard the word of the Lord for the first time in so long? Or I wonder, were they weeping with sorrow and sadness at the conviction of their own sins, knowing they had strayed from God? For whatever reason, the people were moved and heard God's word and began to weep and wail, to cry. And Ezra said to them, "This is a holy day. This is a happy day. We need not weep, but rejoice. We need not fast, but feast. Go forth from this day," Ezra says to them, "and celebrate." The first instruction given to them is that they would eat the fat of the land. Literally, they would eat the fatty part of the meat that was prepared. The fatty part has the most calories. The other night, Charles and I went out for dinner, and I ordered a prime rib. It happened to be the last piece. The waiter told us it was the last piece in the kitchen, and I said, "I'll get it anyway. I want it blackened, please." That piece was pretty richly marbled. I ended up cutting off the fat and leaving it on the edge of my plate. I didn't need the calories. But for people in ancient times who lived on the edge of starvation, to have a piece of meat that actually had fat on it meant that there was surplus in the land. The animals actually had eaten enough that they got fat. And those extra calories gave energy and strength to the people. And so Ezra instructs them, "This is a holy day, a happy day, a time of celebrating. Go forth and eat the best that you've got. Go forth from here and have that cherry pie and the blueberry pie and all the puddings you can handle. Go forth and have the sweet wine, not the bitter dregs at the bottom, but the best, and share it with those for whom nothing has been prepared." The translation is, "Give your best to the poor, those who couldn't make it and be here with us, those who are hungry, those who have never eaten the fat of the land. Give what you have to them and feast together." The word of the Lord was heard by the people, and great rejoicing spread to all the land. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In Nehemiah 8, we hear those beautiful words, "Do not be grieved." Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." It's hard to know when you translate from the Hebrew exactly the nuance of that phrase. You see, it can be translated "the joy in the Lord," the fact that I have joy because I know the Lord. I have joy because I can read God's word. That gives me strength. Or "the joy of the Lord," meaning it's God's joy, is the source of our strength. When people gather together, when people hear scripture and are so moved to share what they have with others in need, God is filled with joy. And that gives us strength. This day is holy. Not just the first day of the seventh month of the seventh year, but every day. Every day when we have the opportunity to read and study and understand God's word. Every day when we have the chance, whether we're men or women, or those who are young but with understanding, when we receive God's word, we're living a holy day. And when that word inspires us to take the sweet wine, the cherry pie, the best of the best, and share with others, there is joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. This week, my friends, may you be strong. May you be joyous. May you be blessed to be a blessing and to share the word of the Lord. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 530 in the Chalice Hymnal. If you've ever been to church camp and sung, "I've got peace like a river," you might not need the hymnal this morning. You might even want to just do the motions. We'll sing, "I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like the ocean in my soul." If there's anyone here looking for a church home or move to give your heart to God, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together. A reminder for our deacons that we will meet downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments for everyone. Please come enjoy a time of fellowship. After everyone's grabbed a cup of coffee, there'll be a time of training and meeting for our deacons. I've even heard a rumor there are blue and orange donuts for some reason today. So enjoy, Broncos fans. They're not all that color. You can root for the team of your choice. Preschool tomorrow night fundraiser at Pizza Ranch. Be sure and tell them you're there to support First Christian Church preschool if you go. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. We thank you for the ways in which your scripture lives in our lives and for the freedom of reading the Bible. We pray for people this week who might read the Bible for the very first time. May they be blessed with understanding and moved to know you. Bless us, O God, who may be the only Bible some people ever read. Bless us to go forth and live lives that tell the story of faith with great joy and strength. Amen and amen.